Welcome in Upstate. It is a Friday, thank goodness, edition of Straight Up with Sturge. Diesel and I in the studio. We're going to run you up till 7 p.m. tonight when we give way for high school football. Round number two of the playoffs tonight. It's your Burns Rebels at the Sumter Gamecocks. And, of course, you'll hear G-Mac and Randy Cable and Matt Hogan with the call of that game. And we'll head down to Sumter, South Carolina at 7 p.m. for high school football. But, of course, it'll be a big weekend of college football all throughout the upstate, all throughout the intercom stations here, including Clemson versus South Carolina, a 7 p.m. kickoff. Therefore, you can hear GMAC and I on Ingalls College Football Today, powered by Carolina Coaches. We'll be in studio at 2 p.m. tomorrow, and we'll get you ready for that kickoff at 7 p.m. in Death Valley. Diesel, also at 7:30 tomorrow night down in Columbia, they'll be celebrating Senior Day and Military Appreciation Day, just like they will at Clemson. The South Carolina Gamecocks looking for bowl eligibility with a win over the Chattanooga Mocs. So they come down 6-4 on the season, and South Carolina coming off that four-quarter loss to the Florida Gators down in the Swamp last week, 35-31. So night games in that regard, but tomorrow here in the upstate, you have a 1:30 kickoff up at Wofford College as Presbyterian, the Blue Hose, 2-7 on the season. They're at the Wofford Terriers, 7-3. Coach Josh Conklin, pretty much looking, if he hasn't already, to nail down a FCS playoff bid. And it's the top 24 teams in the FCS playoffs. Wofford sitting one game behind East Tennessee State. Coach Randy Sanders, the former Kentucky offensive coordinator, most of us remember him as the former Tennessee offensive coordinator, has done a great job there at East Tennessee State.
Shout out to them. Just got the football program going a couple of years ago.
Just got like their stadium put into effect. Remember, they had one of those mini domes back in the day when you guys played them at the Southern Conference level.
But I've seen photos. That's a weird looking dome. Is it still standing? Do you know?
I think it is still standing.
But if anybody knows, text in or tweet us.
They are not playing their college football games there.
Right. They're
anymore.
Not playing their college football there. So if anybody knows, please text us. Yep. What's the text line?
7-1-3-0-7 is the Help There text line. Just start your message with ESPN.
Or tweet us at ESPN Upstate.
I mean, they even used to play basketball in there back in the day well.
Dome stadiums can be really cool if they're done the right way.
Yeah, but that
was. But that one was not.
So here's the deal, Diesel. Furman with a 3 p.m. kickoff at Mercer. The Paladins are 5-4, but third place in the Southern Conference. If they win this game, they may be on the fringe for a playoff bid at 6-4. That Colgate game that they didn't get to play could haunt them when it comes to that. But, you know, there is a little bit of irony when it comes to that football game, as Mercer Bear head coach Bobby Lamb, the former Furman Paladin head coach, as well as quarterback. And, of course, Bobby Lamb's done a good job in building that Mercer football program from the ground up. Locally last night, speaking of Furman, Diesel, Mike Buddy, the athletic director at Furman, I could see the grin on his face because, you know, listen, when you're a Furman Paladins program, a Wofford program, even to a certain extent, you're App State Mountaineers. When you get this publicity on television, you take it and you run with it. And we know Friday night, Furman got a lot of pub nationally when they hit that game-winning dunk on the road at Loyola and Sister Jane. You know, the Ramblers were in the Final Four last year, and they get a 60-58 win on the road. Well, guess what? Bob Ritchie and the Paladins, they backed it up again last night in a 107-67 non-conference win over North Greenville. Jordan Lyons tied a Division I record with 15 three-pointers. Again, 15 three-pointers in one game. He connected on 15 to 34 attempts from past the three-point arc, ended up with 54 points in the ballgame itself. Furman, you know, they were on ESPN on the on SportsCenter and everything else because of it. They had a chance there at the end to make one more three-pointer, and they would have set a team record. They set an NCAA record with 34 three-point attempts. Jordan Lyons, 54 points is the most by a Division I player since 2009. I mean, the better part of a decade. The 4-0 start for the Furman Paladins is the best in the previous 31 years. The 54 points by Jordan Lyons, the most since a Furman Paladin player in 1956. So, you know, that's one way to keep on making history out there. You get the NCAA tournament, NCAA basketball retweeting that final play up at Loyola, and then you come back less than a week later and you tie in a record with Jordan Lyons with most three-pointers made in a game. Pretty good start for the Furman basketball team, but he even got better on the campus of Furman University last night because the soccer team was over in Wilmington, North Carolina to take on the UNCW Seahawks. The game ends up going to penalty kicks, and guess what? Furman wins. The game ended up nothing in regulation before going to overtime and then penalty kicks. And now the Furman Paladins under Doug Allison at 13 wins, 6 losses, 2 ties advance to face number 10 seed Virginia in the second round of the NCAA soccer tournament at 1 p.m. on Sunday up in Charlottesville, Virginia. So congratulations to the Furman soccer team. Congratulations to the Furman basketball team as they poured it on. And then, Diesel, we'd be remiss if we did not mention that the Greenville Swamp Rabbits poured it on last night as well. 8-2, they get the win over the Norfolk Admirals down at Bon Secours Wellness Arena.
Yeah, well, I was in the arena while the game was going on. Now, I was outside in the lobby for the Rise Guys 28-hour broadcast. But I thought there was a ship coming through. That horn just kept going off over and over and over again. By the way, shout out to all the Planet P1s and the listeners who came in, because just shy, I think 2,996 toys were donated and $22,000 in cash donated. That is gigantic.
Yes, and listen, we can still round that up to 3,000, no problem. And think about it. They did it with some really high winds, heavy rain at times, not to mention chilly temperatures. So absolutely next level by Matt Mann and Nine and Fat Boy and Paige and Jeff Lewis Neal, everybody with the Rise Guys. What a fantastic job in that yearly contest. It was great seeing some of the firefighters and police officers and National Guard and the Army all out there in support of them. Very, very cool, no doubt. 2,996 toys donated, more than $22,000 in cash. So, Diesel, you know that leads one more thing up for them. Don't they take that money and go shopping with it and buy all kind of toys?
Yes, they do.
That's got to be one of the wildest situations around, no doubt about it. So congratulations to them. Congratulations to the Swamp Rabbits on that 8-2 win. If you're not into Clemson or South Carolina football, you can make your way down to Bon Secours Wellness Arena tomorrow night for a 7 p.m. puck drop versus the Jacksonville Icemen. And here's what tomorrow night is. It's Heroes Night. And they've got some really cool uniforms that they're wearing, and they will auction off those jerseys after the game. Then back at in action on Sunday, 3 p.m., I plan on taking my daughter to that game if she's not working. 3 p.m. versus the Wheeling Nailers. So you can hear the Rabbit Report tomorrow morning right here on ESPN Upstate with Jordan Coons, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, director of media relations, and nice bounce back. You know, that's what we were saying yesterday, Diesel. Easy to me, it's easier to flush out when you get your butt kicked. Because you can't get back on the bus. You can't get back on the get at home and think, if we did this different, we did that differently, the outcome would have been differently. No, every once in a while, when you get your butt kicked, there's nothing you can do about it. You flush it out of your system, and you come back, and you play well. And that's exactly what the Swamp Rabbits did. So, again, here's what we've got coming up on the show today. At 4:37, we're going to get a check-in from Matt Conley. He covers Clemson Sun, as well as a lot of other things for the state newspaper. And he happens to be in Charleston, where the Charleston Classic is going on. Maybe we can get some smack talk between our Purdue friend and our App State friend, as Purdue knocked off App State in the first round of that Charleston Classic. So Matt Conley did a great article on Hunter Renfro here this week. Also, at the top of the 6 p.m. hour, we'll close things out with our best friend Eric Boynton of the Spartanburg Herald Journal, get a little topic on the Clemson Tigers, the South Carolina Gamecocks, and the Carolina Panthers as well. In between, we'll take your phone calls and kind of wrap up the week. I got the feeling it's going to be a little bit snarky today, because I've got a couple of things I want to test out Diesel's knowledge, see how upset he gets. Of course, Thursday night football last night, the Green Bay Packers continue to watch a window of opportunity with Aaron Rodgers go away. Is there ever going to be a bigger, a better quarterback that had a bigger or more minor stop in the NFL, especially as his career was coming to a close? 844-GSP-ESPN. It's open phones in the next segment. Give us a call. 844-GSP-ESPN. Burn Sumter High School football, round number two of the playoffs, coming up at 7 p.m. All right, welcome back in on this Friday edition. Diesel, it's National Fast Food Day. You know, what would we do without a drive-thru? What's your go-to right now on National Fast Food Day? Where are you likely to go search out?
Well, there's a Bojangles right across the street from my apartment, so I go there a lot. But if I'm going for dinnertime food, it's probably Cookout.
I'm with you on the Cookout thing. Something I've been doing a little bit differently here is Chick-fil-A. You know, they used to have the chicken minis only available in the morning. Now they've got them available all day. And I love that kind of honey yeast roll that they stick the chicken nugget down in. I really like it.
I can't get behind that cakey biscuit, because that's not a biscuit. If it sticks to the roof of my mouth and I can't get it out, that's not a biscuit. It's I don't know what it is. Roll. But, yeah, so I don't know. I can't get behind nuggets at Chick-fil-A. They're delicious. I'm not gonna debate that. They are delicious. But I'm not paying $6 for two chicken tenders cut up into little pieces.
Yeah, and to me, that's one of those cyclical things. You know what I mean? Kind of comes and go over a month-long period. But I'm with you on Cookout. That's kind of thank God I don't have one more than closer than 3 or 4 miles away, or I'd hit it way too much. Diesel, Delvin's on hold. Delvin, I hope you're having a good Friday afternoon.
I'm a great Friday afternoon. How about you guys?
Man, I'm starting to think about what drive-through I'm going to hit on the way home.
Yeah, I hear that, man. Come home to get you a good meal and take it to the house. I'm probably watching football this weekend. So they did some basketball. You got all these tournaments going on. But number one, I agree with y'all about Randy Sanders, man. What he doing at East Tennessee State to come back in the Southern Conference? What, it's been 3 years now to see what he's doing. A program like that, and now you got him a chance to go to the playoffs. And you know, I always ask you this, but I'm going to switch it up. What do you want to see from Sacramento Marquette Chattanooga? Because I think we already know they're going to win. And what's going to be the key that comes at home on Military Appreciation Day and seeing, like, come out with a victory of a Duke team, a game Duke team?
All right, Delvin, I appreciate the phone call. You have a good weekend when it comes to football. But first of all, South Carolina, I want to see attention to detail. And here's what I mean by that, Diesel. Some of the first contention I've heard within the fan base toward Will Muschamp has gone on this week. You know, to my buddies, no excuse. Even though that they're thin on defense, no excuse they should have lost that game this past weekend at the Swamp. I'm not going to necessarily disagree with that, but I'm also going to try to look at the bigger picture and, you know, take a look at what you did well for three quarters that got you ahead 31-14 and try to fix that. And that's going to come with better recruiting. That's going to come with depth. But for South Carolina, grow up, and this is what I mean. Don't let that loss affect you twice. Don't be shaking it off there the entire first half in Williams-Brice Stadium on Saturday and have it, you know, 10-7 Chattanooga or South Carolina or something along those lines. Because guess what's going to happen? you're going to start to hear grumbling in the stands. And that's not what you want a week before you head into the Clemson game right now. So obviously South Carolina needs to run the ball, because they're a whole lot more effective. They're a whole lot better when they run the ball, and I don't see any problems with that versus a Chattanooga team on Saturday. But this is the thing: I don't want to see the Gamecocks come through and just slog through this first half. I mean, come out there, handle your business, get your starters off the field best you can, and get rested up for your best shot the next weekend, and that's ruining Clemson's season. I mean, think about it. A lot of South Carolina fans right now are going to be disappointed to a certain extent if they end up 8-4 this year, because the upward trajectory would be win a bowl game, match what you did last year. I think Will Muschamp may have done him a disservice by winning 9 games last year, because the expectations became a little bit higher a little bit quicker. But for South Carolina, act like you're supposed to be there. I mean, is that the key, Diesel? Act like you're the SEC team when it comes to this weekend of buffer games with the Southeastern Conference. Act like you're just 3 years removed from the Citadel coming in.
I got a better way to say it. Don't screw this up.
Yeah, don't screw it. But you're just 3 years removed from the Citadel coming in and winning this game. So act like you're supposed to be there, handle your business. If not, you're going to hear a lot of chippiness go on there in Williams-Price on Saturday night. As far as Clemson is concerned, number one, just you got to limit what Daniel Jones can do on offense. Here's a guy that is rolling in to a top NFL prospect at quarterback, and he can do it both running and passing the ball. But I just keep coming back to this when it comes to Clemson. That defense, that front seven on defense, has the ability to just change and limit what most teams can do. Whether they can do that against an Alabama, a Michigan, you know, somebody up that's up to their level, I don't know. That remains to be seen. But I think they have the ability to do it on Saturday. Number two, Clemson goes through something. It's not just Military Appreciation Day when it comes over there. They are going to go ahead and have Senior Day, because they don't want to have to deal with that the following week versus South Carolina. That's your rivalry game. Well, Clemson's going to honor 33 seniors on Saturday, and that includes the likes of Christian Wilkins, Cleland Farrell, Hunter Renfro, Mitch Hyatt. So it's going to be an emotional moment. Not only is it Military Appreciation Day, it's going to be an emotional moment. The biggest question I have for Clemson right now is they are just rolling through some things, is can the secondary remain consistent? And one way to help them remain consistent is to continue to put pressure on the opposing team's quarterback. So, this is a different team. It's a different group than what you saw back when they played Texas A&M earlier this year. But right now, Clemson sits at number two in the ACC in passing defense, only allowing 171 yards per game. So that's good. And one way to do that is continue to put pressure on the opposing team's quarterback. So, listen, Clemson, just like we said, headed into last week's game at Boston, everybody had viewed that as the potential trip up. You know, it had been the trip to Syracuse the year before. But Clemson, as we said, if they are what they say they are, if the record says you're 10-0, 7-0 in the Atlantic Coast Conference, and you are the number two ranked team in the country, you go up there and you handle your business. And that's exactly what they did in a 27-7 win. Remember, the 7 points they gave up were in the first half, and it was on a punt return, and it was a very nice play by the Boston College special teams. So the defense effectively threw a shutout. And, of course, when you can do that, it makes it a whole lot easier to win games. Offensively for the Tigers, take what the defense gives you. Right now, it looks like you're going to be able to run the ball, and that would be a good thing. Just take that. Duke has given up nearly 1,100 yards rushing in the last 3 games, Diesel, 10 rushing touchdowns. It feels like Travis Etienne and Adam Choice and Tavion Feaster and then Lynn J. Dixon coming in at the end may have a field day on Saturday when all is said and done. So South Carolina, I'd say for both teams, just it's different because where South Carolina is at 5-4 and where Clemson is at 10-0. But don't screw this up. I'm not sure you could have put this any better. just don't screw it up this weekend. All right, I got a quick question for you. I know this is going to upset you. Did you see what the Sun Belt Conference, your Sun Belt Conference, announced earlier today?
That the champion would automatically go to the New Orleans Bowl?
Yep. First of all, it is the first year of the Sun Belt Championship game, correct?
Yes, it is.
All right, so they announced earlier today Sun Belt title game winner to play in the New Orleans Bowl versus a Conference USA representative. That's the part that gets you upset, right? Because you constantly maintain, give us our shot to do something else versus somebody other than Conference USA.
Well, from a conference perspective, New Orleans is the premier bowl that the conference has a tie-in with, so I guess that's it. Now in
it's the
years,
best trip.
In years, yes, it is also that as well. But in years past, the New Orleans Bowl has taken Louisiana over and over and over again, whether they were a 7-win team or a 10-win team, because they knew that they were right down the road and would bring the most fans. So in a way, I think it's kind of a good announcement because it states that the best team in this league is going to our best bowl game,
okay,
without a doubt.
Yeah, I would say you got to either, the way this thing's set up right now for the Sun Belt, you got to send your best team either to New Orleans or Orlando. And the Cure Bowl sits down there at the bottom, but I'm just maintaining that's a better trip than Montgomery.
The problem with the Cure Bowl is it's on CBS Sports Network, yeah, and nobody sees it, and it's an odd date. So while it is a more desirable location to go to, and bowl payouts don't matter in some, but I don't know if it's the same for most conferences, but all bowl payouts go into one giant pool and everybody gets their equal piece off of it. So it doesn't matter if the Cure pays out $1 million and the Camellia pays out $500,000, you're going to get $750 from the league.
Well, the other thing I would say about the Cure Bowl is it's the third bowl there in Orlando. You can tell when we've been down to cover the Russell Athletic Bowl, which is now what the Champs Sports Bowl has been changed. The old Citrus Bowl is definitely the number one in the pecking order in Orlando, and then it's followed by the Russell Athletic or whatever it's called at this point, Champs. And then the Cure would fall behind that. All right, Sports Illustrated is reporting that Kansas is finalizing plans on a deal with former LSU head coach Les Miles to be their new head football coach. They say barring a last-minute change, the hat should be back and should be back in Manhattan, Kansas. We kind of thought that might be the route yesterday, Diesel. There was not a snowball's chance in you know where that you're going to leave $5 million on the table as a buyout if you did not have something else in the works. So it looks like the hat is going to be at Kansas. Also, the big game. Do you know which two teams play in the big game? Cal and Stanford. And they have announced that they were supposed to play this weekend. They have now had to move their game to December 1st because of the wildfires out there. Not healthy air quality. Of course, not healthy for anybody to be out there. Don't really need to be worried about a football game at this point. So, again, December 1st, getting a lot more football games on it, and that may be a good thing because we're going to see a four-loss Northwestern team in the Big Ten championship game. We're going to see a four-loss Pitt team more than likely in the ACC championship game. So more football, not necessarily a bad thing. When we come back, we'll talk Clemson. We'll talk the Charleston Classic with our buddy Matt Conley from the state newspaper. He did a heck of an article. Think of all the wide receiver talent that has come through Clemson in the last decade, and guess what? It's Hunter Renfro that will leave as the record holder. Pretty amazing when you stop and think about it. Matt Conley from the state newspaper. When we come back, then it's open phones till the top of the 6 p.m. hour with Eric Boynton of the Spartanburg Herald Journal. All right, welcome back in. Trying to get connected with Matt Conley from the state newspapers. You know, not too often during this time of the year do you get to break away for a couple of days. you know, he's a big Purdue Boilermakers fan, and he and his mom are down there in the Charleston Classic, and of course, Purdue got the better part of your App State Mountaineers yesterday, Diesel. So
I'm pretty sure Dorman High School could beat App State basketball. We're not very good.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll try to get caught up with Matt here. He's done a really interesting article I want to talk about. But, you know, one thing, Diesel, you know I'm not coming to a Friday edition of Straight Up with Sturge without a couple of sucker questions for you. Right? Because this stuff normally either makes me look good and you look bad, or maintains the truth about this show. I look good, you look bad, or you end up schooling me on it when you had the get off my lawn segment the moment the other day. You know what I mean? So, coming up tomorrow, what do Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park, and SunTrust Park in Atlanta all have in common? Again, coming up tomorrow, what do Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park in Boston, SunTrust Park in Atlanta all have in common?
They'll be empty.
All right. What's going on in Yankee Stadium this weekend that we've talked about for the last couple of weeks?
A Notre Dame game, right?
Yep, Notre Dame's going to be going down to number 12 Syracuse and Dino Babers. We called that shot a couple of weeks ago. We're not going to going away from it now. I don't care if Notre Dame's a 10-point favorite or not. I just think that Syracuse has gotten better. Notre Dame's not as good. Hey, listen, Mackenzie Milton, the Central Florida quarterback's out there saying, "Look, Notre Dame's not as near as good as we are. Forget the fact they're ranked number 3. We're ranked number 11, and it's based off of one football game. We beat Pitt at home worse than they did." Yeah, also go look at the rest of the schedule around there. It's pretty easy to go beat somebody when you're playing Powder Puff the week before. So you can't always do that. That's the one thing you can do. But Mackenzie Milton out there now crying. Everybody with Central Florida crying. "We're better because we beat them worse." You know, I would maintain you got to look at what happened the week before, who was coming up the week after. There are things of that nature to look into. So Yankee Stadium tomorrow, they're hosting Notre Dame versus Syracuse. So now, do you have any idea why Fenway Park in Boston and SunTrust Park in Atlanta may be thrown into this mix?
I'm assuming they're hosting games.
You are correct. Fenway Park tomorrow. They are hosting Yale versus Harvard.
Got a collective GPA in that stadium.
I mean, how bad is the taunt? I mean, that's their big rivalry game. But, however, if you remember, the biggest moment that's come out of a Yale-Harvard game is when MIT went out there and dug a hole in the turf at Yale Stadium that time, and all of a sudden in the middle of the game, this balloon lifted out of the turf with MIT written on it, and you know, still one of the better pranks in college football to this day.
What does Yale shout at him? "Our incoming freshmen come in with a 4.7 GPA. Yours come in with a 4.69.
I mean, what is the taunting level at the Yale-Harvard game? You know what I mean?
I'm going to be your boss one day? I don't know.
You're going to work for me in the CIA versus I'm going to work for you in the FBI. I mean, because we know that, you know, the FBI, the DOJ, the CIA, any of those three name acronyms, if you will, when it comes to the government, all recruit from the master's programs at those Ivy League schools. So, yeah, you're going to work for my CIA one day. Something along those lines, it will be true. But also, at SunTrust Park in Atlanta, you have Kennesaw State versus Jacksonville State. So, yeah, three Major League Baseball parks are home to college football games tomorrow. Kennesaw State, Jacksonville State, actually a good ball game. Kennesaw State, we told you, Diesel, watch out for them as they explode onto the scene. They're up there in North Atlanta. I mean, they are the UCF of 2018. By that, I mean huge commuter school on the outskirts of a major city. Kennesaw State in 25 years can be what Central Florida is today, which is a massively big school with a lot of money to go do some stuff with.
Kennesaw ain't no state I ever heard of.
So anyway, all three of those buildings. Now, the first of those games, going back to it, is the Syracuse-Notre Dame game. If you all right, Diesel, again, let's put your thinking cap on for a second. What state is Syracuse located in?
New York.
All right. What state is Yankee Stadium?
Manhattan. Or the Bronx.
Yeah, but what state?
Still New York State, right. But it's a different part of New York State.
Guess what color the Empire State Building in New York City is going to be lit up tonight in honor of the night before Syracuse-Notre Dame gets played at Yankee Stadium. It's going to be lit up in blue and gold in honor of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Yes. If you were a Syracuse fan in the state of New York, would you not be pretty pissed off that one of the business buildings in downtown New York City, New York, was honoring your opponent in tomorrow's game rather than the state university? I mean, because Syracuse would be the biggest state university in New York.
Yeah, but there's a lot more Irishmen in New York that could riot.
I'm just saying, you know what? You went with the team from Indiana. We know this is why, but I'm just saying, if I was a Syracuse fan, I'd be upset that the Empire State Building, now the most iconic building in downtown New York City after 9/11 and the terrorism, is going to be lit up in the opponent's colors today. If I were on the Board of Regents or the Board of Trustees, I might be popping off a little email going, that ain't cool, that ain't cool. All right, so again, that's some of the irony when it comes to college, when it comes to college football this weekend. We'll come back. We'll try our buddy Matt Conley here during the break and see if we can catch up with him from Charleston. We could start taking a look at the Duke-Clemson game, the South Carolina-Chattanooga game, as well as the college football weekend ahead. Plus, Diesel, we wondered yesterday, would there be a team out there willing to accept Carmelo Anthony after his career with the Houston Rockets came to an end after a whopping 10 games? Turns out, there is somebody always willing to take him on, and we'll tell you about that as well. All right, we're going to head down to the Holy City. It's our buddy Matt Conley with the State Newspaper. You can follow on Twitter, Matt at the State. He's about to head over to the Charleston Arena. How much fun was it to see your black and gold whoop Diesel's black and gold yesterday, Matt?
It was fun. It was a lot of fun going to that tournament. It's always a lot of fun. Anytime you can have a basketball tournament in Charleston, and it was great that Purdue was actually down here. So when they were this close and never really get to see him play. Had to make a trip down here for a couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, who's had a better week? I ran into you Wednesday night at Smoke on the Water. Now you're getting, any time at our age you get to hang out with mom somewhere, it's a good trip as well. But listen, I wanted to get you on, talk a little bit about the Duke game this weekend. Obviously, military appreciation is big. I thought you did a really amazing article on Hunter Renfrow and how all this talent has come through Clemson, yet it's Hunter Renfrow that leaves as the record holder.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I mean, he said every year, you know, they bring in 4-star receivers and 5-star receivers, whether it's Deion Kane or Ray McLeod or now Justin Ross. And he's still the guy that's got his starting job, and he's getting ready to make the most starts ever for a Clemson receiver with 42 or 43. So it's just nuts what he's been able to do and the productivity that he's had. He's also going to set the record for the most games in a row with a reception, if he can do that. Saturday against Duke, which I think everyone fully expects him to, and probably go ahead and get that out of the way early. So, you know, you look at what he did last week against Boston College with 8 catches for 80 yards and leading the team in receiving. He's just, you know, he came in as a walk-on, and I know it's been documented several times, but he came in as a walk-on with real big offers and just to now leave with the record holder. When you look at all the receivers that Clemson's brought in, it's really incredible what he's been able to do.
I love what you tweeted 3 hours ago at Matt at the State. Said Adam Humphries thought Hunter Renfrow was a kicker, while Coach Jeff Scott said, we had 115 players on the team. If we lined them up 1 through 115, just based off physical appearance, stature, he probably would have been ranked number 115. So, I mean, it gives you an idea of, number one, believe in yourself, and that's what this defensive line, they believe in themselves as well. With Christian Wilkins leading the way, Matt, I don't think there's any chance that there's a letdown this weekend.
No, I don't think so either, especially with it being senior day and those guys kind of want to make a statement in their last game. Well, not their last game. They'll play South Carolina next week. But on the day when they're honored for senior day, I know they'd love nothing more than to come out and really make a statement and finish the right way. That group's been dominant this year. You look at the rushing numbers that teams have against Clemson. It all starts up front with Wilkins and Cleveland Farrell and those guys. They've just been really dominant all year, and I expect that to continue Saturday against Duke. Duke's got a really good quarterback, Daniel Jones, but I just don't think that their offense is going to be able to put up a lot of points against Clemson. And that defense, that's going to be very motivated, not just the defensive line, but really that defense has a lot of veterans on it. Kendall Joseph as well, so that'll be a senior. So I know they want to make a big statement on senior day, and I think they'll do that this weekend.
All right, Matt, as we continue, I'll really begin finishing up with our buddy Matt Conley from the State. Trevor Lawrence, you know, wears number 16. That's what Peyton Manning wore at the University of Tennessee. That was his idol. And now you're actually hearing, you're seeing articles written. You've done one. They've been done nationally. How Trevor Lawrence kind of reminds people of Peyton Manning in his freshman year at the University of Tennessee. And one thing that they both contain is they're cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah, that's right. And full disclosure, I named my daughter Peyton after Peyton Manning, so I'm okay. A bit of a Peyton Manning homer.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, it's crazy what Trevor's been able to do during his freshman year. You know, he came in with so much hype and the number one overall player in the country and a lot of pressure on him, and he's just lived up to everything. And then so he's done a great job commanding the offense, and the thing that he said that he liked most about Peyton was the way that he could go up to the line and kind of orchestrate the offensive line and the playbook and know what the defense was doing, and that's something that Clemson's coaching staff has raved about, is his ability to do that as a freshman and how he understands all the moving parts and who's supposed to be where. He had a big play to Hunter Renfrow last week against Boston College where he checked the protection at the line of scrimmage and read the blitz and split the protection over so that he would have time to get the play off, and it ended up being a big game. So that's just something you don't see a lot in freshmen. And he's really, you know, everybody knows about his arm strength and the arm talent and all of that, but maybe what's been most impressive about him this year is just his command of the offense and kind of how he understands where everyone's supposed to be and what the defense is doing to try to attack them.
All right, Matt, before we let you go, you're down at the Charleston Classic. You're a Purdue grad, and Purdue's playing. Listen, the Coastal –
well, let me correct you. My mom's a Purdue grad.
All right, your mom's a Purdue grad. But your black and gold and steak Chuck Burgers heritage goes deep in West Lafayette. So give us an idea. I mean, right now the state of South Carolina with the Myrtle Beach Classic, with the Charleston Classic, literally one of the hotbeds of college basketball. Is there a big – a big storyline in Charleston with this tournament?
Yeah, it's been really neat. Just walking around, you know, I've come to Charleston tons of times before. It's one of my favorite cities. But just walking around and seeing all the different teams representing, there are a ton of Purdue fans. I've been kind of surprised how many are down here, although I think a lot, you know, there are a lot of engineers from Purdue that are probably down here working and stuff that live in the state now, but been really surprised at how many Purdue fans have been here. Tons of Wichita State fans, some Alabama fans, Virginia Tech, Davidson. It's really been cool to see, you know, so many different places and cities and conferences represented. And then you mentioned the Myrtle Beach Classic that's going on as well. And that I saw there's a really good field for it next year. I think Villanova is coming to it next year. So it's really cool that all these tournaments are going on here in South Carolina. It's really, you know, becoming a hotbed for these little holiday tournaments that pop up every year. As far as a big storyline, Carson Edwards is Purdue's shooting guard. He's maybe going to be the National Player of the Year. I know he was preseason National Player of the Year, and I think he topped 30 last night. So a little bit of a homer pick, but he's been fun to watch down here for sure.
All right, listen, buddy, enjoy it. I know you'll have a lot of fun, and let's catch up here soon. Just challenge our listeners to follow you, Matt, at the State. Thank you, bud.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, sir.
All right, Matt Conley from the State newspaper. And he's right, probably a lot of Boeing engineers down there from West Lafayette, things of that nature. And Diesel, that's one of the things we commented on yesterday. What a good crowd that was. You know, it wasn't it's not a tournament that's being played, the Paradise Jam back in the day being played in a hotel ballroom at, down in the Bahamas. So, no, that was a legitimate crowd yesterday.
Yeah, but how do you get to be one of those student athletes who get sent to the Bahamas in the middle of December or November? That's the ticket.
You work hard and you sign that college scholarship. All right, when we come back, it's college football. Dude, some rough news out of the state of Alabama. Somebody everybody knows.